Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, it's hard to believe that we have come to the last broadcast day of the year 2005. The last day of the year, of course, being tomorrow on Saturday, December 31, and then Sunday, the first day of the new year. I wondered when we started the year 2005, a year ago now, 364 days ago, I wondered if we would be here at the end of the year, and yet I'm getting old enough now that I have watched years come and go, and many, many times I have wondered, will we make it through this year? Will this be the year that the Lord returns? And all of God's people will be caught up to be with the Lord. Will this be the year that I go to be with the Lord? And these are, of course, questions we don't know. I don't know that I will live out the rest of this day, but here we are. Basically, at the end of another year, and God has brought every one of us who are listening to this broadcast safely through another year. Safely through another year, God has brought us on our way. I probably should remind you of this, but I can remember not too many years ago now, when everybody seemed to be in a big uproar about Y2K and the beginning of the new millennium, and an awful lot of God's people seemed to be absolutely certain that we would not make it past the end of the last millennium, that surely the Lord was going to come. It seemed to me that that was just too obvious to be true. What do you mean by that? Well, the Bible is very explicit that nobody knows the day nor the hour of Christ's return. Of Christ's return. And something as obvious as the closing out of one millennium and the beginning of a new millennium just would almost certainly not be the date. Whatever the time is, whatever the date may be, it's going to be something that is not going to be so obvious, because at that particular date, millions of people were expecting him to come. Of course, the question is raised, what actually is the right date for the beginning and the ending of a millennium? People argue about that even as much as a year, and then we realize that the calendar is a very artificial thing, and we're not even dealing with the same January 1 that people were dealing with just a few centuries ago. It's all shifted, it's all changed, and it's all very, very arbitrary, or maybe I shouldn't say arbitrary, but it's all very man-made, and we've just all agreed that we're going to follow the same calendar, basically, to keep from having a lot of confusion. Though, actually, I guess you understand that there are people in this world that follow different calendars. And their New Year's Day is not the same as ours. And so, really, when you take all that into account, some of these big dates that loom so large, and the people are sure, signal something momentous, the coming of Christ, or in the case of Y2K, a great deal of cataclysm that was maybe a precursor to the coming of Christ, and people were stockpiling food. And I wonder how many of you were involved with that. I don't really want to ask, but I do remember, and I think I must say this before I move on. I do remember hearing at least one preacher on the radio who was very certain that catastrophe was going to happen with Y2K. All the computers were going to shut down, and that was going to cause this and that and the other and so forth. And he went on to say that pastors who were not warning their people about this and preparing their people for this getting their people to stockpile food and water and get firearms for protection, all kinds of things. I can't remember what all the things were. The pastors who weren't doing that were not true shepherds. They were not faithful under-shepherds. They were hirelings. They were apostates. Any true Bible-believing pastor would be agreeing with him on this and would be reaffirming this to his congregation, preparing his flock. And I remember hearing all that, and my thoughts were, well, I just am not convinced. I think finally at our church we did go ahead and print a list of suggestions that somebody had printed up, and I said, if you're concerned about this, then here's something you can do. But frankly, and I told our people this, I said, I'm not at all convinced that we're going to have a problem. I'm rather of the opinion that all of this has been blown out of proportion and hyped, and I really don't think that anything's going to happen. That's what I told our folks. Well, here we are on the threshold of a new year, about to complete 2005. I mean, 1999 came and went, 2000 came and went, 2001 came and went. Here we are at 2005, about to enter 2006. None of those dire predictions came true. There was scarcely a glitch anywhere in computers. I can't even remember the details now of why we were supposed to have such a big problem. But it had to do with the fact that computers with their internal dates weren't programmed for a new millennium, and so at least older ones weren't. And so supposedly it was going to shut down the power grids. It was going to shut down communication. It was going to cause chaos everywhere. And it would take enormous amounts of money, millions and billions of dollars, to get all this corrected. It was going to create absolute chaos when it occurred. Well, none of it happened. All the people who did all that stockpiling basically wasted their money, unless they were willing to eat up the stockpiles of this kind of undesirable food that nobody would eat anyway except in an emergency. I guess if you stocked peanut butter and jelly, and that doesn't require refrigeration, I don't think, and so you could certainly eat that up. But so who was the unfaithful shepherd, I guess, is my question at this point. The people who were making all these dire predictions going beyond the Bible, misinterpreting the Bible, and leading their people astray based upon that which is not the Word of God. Or those who just said, folks, I don't know, we need to be ready at any time, but I don't think this is very likely. And one reason is because the Bible makes it clear that people don't know the time of Christ's return. And so anybody who says he does know or thinks he knows or has a pretty close calculation is obviously wrong. We don't know when the Lord will return, but one thing we can be pretty sure of, he's not going to return when somebody says he's going to return, unless somebody's just simply saying that every day, which is, of course, the way we ought to be ready all the time. But if there's some widely anticipated expectation that this is the date of Christ's return, I think based upon what the Scripture actually does say, we can be about 99.9% sure that that will not be the time. He's not going to come at a time when people expect it. His coming is going to catch people off guard. He's going to catch people by surprise, except for his believing children, who are always ready in one sense because they are saved. And if they're living in fellowship with the Lord, they're ready at any time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. What do we have to fear? What do we have to get ready for? We're ready. We're ready if we're saved. And we're ready if we are living lives of faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. We're ready. That doesn't mean that we don't have any sin and failures in our lives, but if we're keeping short accounts with God, confessing our sins on a regular basis, endeavoring to live for the Lord, we're ready. We're ready at any time, any place. In other words, to be ready for the return of Christ is basically the same as to be ready to die at any time. We don't know how we're going to wind up our earthly sojourn. Obviously, there's going to be a generation of people who will be alive when Christ returns. We could be in that number, but multiplied millions of God's people have lived and died. Multiplied millions of God's people who were looking for the coming of Christ did not realize the coming of Christ in their lifetime. They died. And many thousands, I don't know how many, of God's people who were very certain that Christ was going to return at some particular time, have seen that date come and go, and they have now since died. Christ didn't come at the time they expected. Christ didn't come in their lifetime. And I have had people tell me that they are absolutely certain that Christ is going to return during their lifetime, that they're not going to die. They've taken sort of a Simeon in the Bible approach, you know, Christ, the Simeon who held the Christ child and said that it had been revealed to him that he would not die until the Christ came. And when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, Simeon recognized him as the fulfillment of that promise and took him up in his arms and blessed him and then said, "Now let your servant die in peace. The promise has been fulfilled." So Simeon did have a revelation from God that he would not die until Christ came the first time. Now, does anybody have a revelation from God that they will not die until Christ comes a second time? Well, I can't say for certain because I'm not God and I don't know what God does, and he can do what he wants to do and he can tell people what he wants to tell them. But I've learned by observation that an awful lot of people who tell me that they have revelations from God obviously don't, because the things they say are revelations from God fail. And if it was a revelation from God, it wouldn't fail. We know that Simeon's revelation was from God because it came to pass exactly as he said. But many things that people tell me are revelations from God obviously aren't. How many times I've had people give me literature written by somebody who's got it all figured out. Christ will return by such and such a day. In fact, in some cases, even have actually identified the actual calendar date. And what folly. What absolute folly. How could somebody with a straight face do what the Bible says that nobody can do? What pride, what audacity to say, "I figured it out. Nobody else has. Nobody else can. And even though Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour, I do. And here it is." Well, surely anybody who says that immediately identifies himself as a false prophet. He cannot be a true prophet of God. He has stated that which is contrary to the Word of God. How do you test a prophet? By two things. Number one, does he speak according to the Word of God? If he speaks contrary to the Word of God, he can't be a prophet. And number two, does what he says come to pass? And in time, it will be seen that every false prophet's prophecies will fail. And that man certainly did. So, what's the thing to do? Stay in the book. Say what the Bible says. No more, no less. We need to believe all that the Bible truly says, but we need to be careful that we never add one thing to the Word of God. And we need to be careful that we do not misunderstand our fanciful interpretations of God's Word, which are actually filling in blanks that really are not revealed to us in the Bible, but we think we've got them figured out. We better be very cautious about that, or we will be seen to be fools and untrue prophets and ministers of God's Word. And so may we be true to the Word of God in 2006. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.